Welcome back to 2 hours of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. If you've been listening to my programs, you know that I'm presently in Jerusalem for the month of March, but I have prepared programs for you to hear while I'm gone, if God be willing, if all is going well. This is show number 286 of March 9th. I am replaying a two-hour interview that took place 22 years ago in June 13th of 1993. It was commemorating Yossi Rosenblatt's 60th Yahrzeit, and I had in the studio cantor Bernard Beer of the Bell School, Yeshiva University. You'll hear more about that in the interview, and I trust that you'll enjoy this. Many of you recently have been viewing my or attending my presentations, Yossi's World, and it's been a wonderful experience sharing that that music with you and the PowerPoint and so forth. And I remind you that I am available to give this presentation at your shul or to your Jewish organization. You know how to reach me, simply at cbjmusic@aol.com. Anyway, let's go back 22 years ago, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy this special of Yossi Rosenblatt with Cantor Beer. Oh, I just want to point out that this Shira Malas, we said it was Rosenblatt. Jeffrey Schisler of England says that it was Minkowski who composed this. So stand corrected on that. Back to the June 1993 program. Good evening. Welcome to another 2 hours of Jewish Soul. This is your host, Charlie Bernhout. Each week, we bring you the best in cantorial, Yiddish, Israeli, and American Jewish music. We come to you over WSOU 89.5 FM. It's broadcast from Seton Hall University in beautiful South Orange, New Jersey. At the beginning of the show, you heard part of the Rosenblatt composition, Shir HaMalos. Those of you who have been regular listeners to the show know that this evening we are commemorating the 60th Yahrzeit of cantor Yossi Rosenblatt. I'm very pleased and proud to have with me cantor Bernard Beer, who is the director of the Bell's School of Jewish Music at Yeshiva University, who will be taking us through Rosenblatt's wonderful history and background to his life. Good evening. How are you, Bernard?
Good evening, Charlie. It's a pleasure to be here this evening with you.
Before we begin, just tell us briefly about the Bell School and what you do there.
Well, I direct the Bell School of Jewish Music. It's a school that's dedicated to the not only to the training of cantors, but we offer courses in Nusach HaTfilah, which is melody chants of the synagogue, for people who wish to learn how to daven at the Yomid. We offer general classes in music, voice, history of Jewish music. We offer classes in Sephardic Chazanut and piano and other instruments, choral ensemble, general music history. And we have already in our school this past term some 200 to 300 students taking classes. Those who are interested, there are scholarships available for people who are who are serious students who wish to pursue a career in the cantorate.
Can one just take one or two courses not leading towards a degree, or must it be towards matriculation?
It does not have to be a series of classes or courses that lead to a degree. We have students who just come in to take voice, or just take a class in Nusach HaTfilah, or a class in Advanced Chazanut. On our faculty, we have some of the most prominent cantors, such as Yosef Malavani. We have cantor Sherwood Goffin, and others who come in on a non-regular basis, who are very well known to the public, and is offered to people from all walks of life.
I'm sure our listeners will be interested in hearing more about your work in the future. This evening we're going to be discussing the life of cantor Yosla Rosenblatt and presenting some of his outstanding music. Tell us a little bit about Rosenblatt.
Well, Rosenblatt was undoubtedly the most prominent cantor of our age, so much so that he became a legend in his time, a legend in Jewish life. And it was the unusual quality of and range of his voice, his virtuosity and music creativity as a cantor, composer, which we will shortly demonstrate, combined with a devoutness, an idealism, and a deep sincerity that he communicated to his listeners. He was not only a great cantor and composer, but also a great Jew. And one can sense these qualities of character and personality from his numerous compositions and recordings. I would say that these are the special qualities that he possessed that enabled him to achieve such success, more so than any other cantor. Something about his background and his life. Rosenblatt was born in 1882. In the Hasidic world of the Russian Ukraine, an area in Russia long known as a land of song and melody. It has been said that the woods of the Ukraine and the fields seem to be instinct in producing music, and it is no wonder that the Ukraine has produced its foremost cantors that, in addition to Rosenblatt, other great cantors such as Sirota, Hirschman, Kwartin, Reutman, Razumny, who, by the way, never recorded, and many others, all originated there. About his early childhood, Rosenblatt's father served as a bal tefila in the town of Bielacherkov. And at the age of four, Yosla was able to repeat the synagogue chants that he heard from his father and the choir, who rehearsed in his house. As a child prodigy, he traveled with his father throughout Europe and assisted him in conducting services. And as far as his musical training, well, Rosenblatt was mostly self-taught. He never received any formal musical training. And it was only because his father had a rudimentary knowledge of music, he did train him to read and notate elementary musical scores. His career in Europe began at the age of 18 in 1900. Through 1912, Rosenblatt held positions as cantor in Munkacs, in the Hasidic atmosphere in Hungary, later on in Pressburg, and then his last position in Europe was in Hamburg. In 1912, he was invited to serve the most prestigious Orthodox synagogue of that day, Congregation Ohiv Tzedek, and he remained there for 14 years.
That was in New York City?
In New York City. In those days, it was in Harlem, which was the elite neighborhood for Jews. What about Rosenblatt's music? I think we should get to that right now. He was, as was mentioned many times, a prolific composer. And his music represented various styles and reflect different periods of his life. First and foremost, and perhaps because of his Hasidic background, Rosenblatt was a strong melodist, and many of his recitatives are sung in a song-like manner, and some major portions of the selections adhere to a strict rhythmical pattern. Also, an important characteristic of Rosenblatt's compositions is the repetition of the same phrase and the repetition of the phrase in different sequences. A fine example of this is heard in his Shomer Yisrael, which is taken from the weekday Tachanun. Shomer Yisrael, O guardian of Israel, save the remnants of Israel.
Nature!
first selection was Shomer Yisrael by the great cantor Yossele Rosenblatt. Cantor Viewer, tell us a little bit about this particular selection.
The Shomer Yisrael was recorded on September 17th, 1920, and Rosenblatt dedicated the proceeds from this recording to the suffering Jewish war orphans of the First World War. During this period of World War I, the effect of the war motivated Rosenblatt to compose some of his most successful and famous compositions. And that in addition to his Shomer Yisrael, other compositions such as Habet Mishamayim, Elokai Neshama, were created as well. Another of Rosenblatt's world-famous recordings, which he composed and created during the same period of World War I, was his Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael, which is also taken from the weekday penitential Tachanun prayers. This selection again affords us the opportunity to hear repetitions of the same musical phrase and repetitions in different sequences and combinations. We also hear in this recording his phenomenal range and magnificent display of voice control, especially when reaching the text of Hamokom Yerachem Aleihem, may God have mercy upon them. At this point of the selection, the timbre, the quality of Rosenblatt's voice, assumes the quality and sound of a bass baritone, and then continues to a lyric tenor, and out of that breaks into a thin falsetto. One cannot help being deeply inspired and moved with Rosenblatt's interpretation of this selection. Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael, our brethren, the whole house of Israel, who are given over to trouble and to captivity, may God show compassion to them.
Oh,
That was Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. Cantor Beer, these were sung during the First World War. It was interesting that he waited a couple of years afterwards to record.
Well, he sang these compositions on concert tours on behalf of the Jewish war sufferers. And they were very well known during this period of time. He did not record these compositions until 1920. I have no answer for that, except for the fact that I do know that he signed a contract with Victor Company. Prior to that, he sang he made his recordings for Columbia, but which Victor Company, he signed the contract for I believe 10 years, from 1920 till 1930, which is very unusual for any kind of singer. And he began to make his most famous recordings, such as Shomer Yisrael, Elokai Neshoma, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, Habet Mishamayim, for Victor Company in the early 1920s. These were his most famous recordings.
What will we be hearing next?
Well, before we hear something further, I would like to interject a note concerning congregational singing. Some experts maintain that congregational singing was first introduced by the Young Israel movement, or even the conservative movement. I don't believe either of these opinions are correct. Many of the choral compositions written by the masters such as Zadel Rovner, Nissi Belzer, many other synagogue composers, and others, always allowed for congregational participation. And later, many of these melodies were incorporated into the repertoire of numerous synagogues. Let us listen to samplings of two Musaf High Holiday selections composed and recorded by Rosenblatt that, because of their universal appeal and popularity, have been introduced as congregational melodies in many synagogues. We will first listen to Kivah Koras from the Unisane Tokef prayer, and then V'chol Ma'aminim, also from the Musaf Epiyut, a poem from the High Holiday Musaf service. Both selections contain the genuine Hasidic flavor so typical of Rosenblatt's style. Thank you.
Just happened to tune in late. We're commemorating the 60th Yahrzeit of cantor Yesula Rosenblatt, and I'm very proud and pleased that we have with us this evening cantor Bernard Veer, who is the director of the Bell School of Jewish Music at Yeshiva University. I think tonight is the actual Yahrzeit. Is that so, cantor Veer?
Yes, Charlie, Chof Hei Sivan, and this tonight and tomorrow. Sunday night, Monday, Chof Hei Sivan is the Yahrzeit of Yesula Rosenblatt. Getting back to his music, even in his cantorial recitatives, we're just talking about his congregational singing influences. Even in his cantorial selections, his recitatives, Rosenblatt would often inspire congregational participation by chanting a tune and then utilizing it as a refrain, which would be repeated several times. In his Berich Shemei, recited at the time when the Torah is removed from the Aron Kodesh, we hear this wonderful recitative accompanied by a congregational tune to the words, Ano Avdo de Kudusho Berichu, I am the servant of the Holy One, blessed be He. Also, in this selection, pay close attention to the opening phrases and the majestic manner in which Rosenblatt gives expression to the words Antu Shalit al Kolo, Antu de Shalit al Malchayo, Umalchuso di Lochi. Addressing God, you are the ruler over all, you are the ruler over kings, and the kingdom is yours.
Shalit al kolo, antu di shalit al malchayu, umalchuso, umalchuso, umalchuso di Elohim. Yaro adu di kudish nano adu di kudish ano ano abidu adu di kudish di kudish beri. Me come di ka wa roi rai se,
ולחיים, לטוב ולחיים, לטוב ולחיים, ולחיים
That was Baruch Shemei, a very beautiful selection by Yesila Rosenblatt.
Rosenblatt began to achieve fame and recognition while touring the United States and concertizing all over the country on behalf of World War I sufferers, as was mentioned before. It was also around this period as well that the Gentile world began to hear of him. They heard him in concerts, and many possess some of his recordings, especially his popular Kaylee Kaylee. However, it was in the year 1918 that Rosenblatt created a sensation throughout the musical and outside world when he refused an invitation to appear with a Chicago opera company on the grounds that opera was not compatible with his Orthodox Jewish principles. However, many of Rosenblatt's compositions, especially those written for cantor and choir, reflect the influences of opera. One such selection is his Psalm 113 from the Hallel service recited on festivals, Halleluka Hallelu Avdei Hashem. He composed and published this selection in 1921. And he dedicated the selection to the President of the United States, who at that time was Warren G. Harding. Rosenblatt is accompanied in this selection by a full orchestra, who through their instruments fill in the various choral segments. Rosenblatt displays phenomenal voice and breath control throughout this selection as he passes from tenor voice to bass baritone and back again to tenor. Halleluka, Hallelu, Avdei Hashem. Let us praise Hashem. Let us praise the servants of Hashem.
Allah Shemayim Kivayroi, Allah
perché me lo chiedo, amagbi lo chove, amagbi lo faccio mai o volore, amagbi lo chove, amagbi
pleased to have with me once again for his weekly commentary Rabbi Sholem Gordon of Congregation Avas Tzion of 421 Boyden Avenue in Maplewood, New Jersey. Good evening, Rabbi Gordon.
Good evening, Charlie. The Seder Shlach, which we read yesterday, recounts the familiar story of the Meraglim, the spies who were sent by Moshe to investigate the land of Canaan prior to its divinely ordained conquest. Although each spy was personally chosen by Moshe, and each was quite familiar with God's promise, 10 of the 12 defied the Almighty's will and told the people that the land was unconquerable. Even further, their fear of the Canaanites was so profound that Talmud tells us they said, "The inhabitants are stronger than him. Even the Almighty himself could not conquer them." This conclusion is so ridiculous, the question must be asked, how could these spies have possibly drifted so far? These were men of faith and understanding. They were righteous men and wise men. What is the source of an error of this magnitude? There is a classical parable which describes the process of becoming lost. One doesn't suddenly find himself in the depths of this dark, trackless forest. Instead, one deviates from the familiar broad highway only a step at a time. Gradually, one strays further and further from the road until one ends up in the forest. This is what happened to the Meraglim. They started out as wise and righteous princes of the tribes who knew the will and power of the Almighty and ended as rebels. What was the original step, the original hairbreadth of their error? According to the founder of Chabad, the Shneur Zalman and the Alter Rebbe, their first error consisted of an unwillingness to become involved in the mundane world. In the desert, they were well isolated from the world of hardships. They had it to eat. A miracle fed them manna every day. A miracle gave them water from Miriam's well. A miracle provided them with miraculous clouds that hid them from their enemies. But once in Canaan, their first very task would be to wage war, an effort which wastes time and energy, even if the Almighty would miraculously prevent serious casualties and bloodshed. This time and effort could better be devoted to the study of Torah. Moreover, once the war would be won, they would be required to plow and sow and tend vineyards. Quite understandably, the Meraglim, the spies, hesitated to leave the desert in order to enter the material world. in the desert, they could devote all their time and energy to Torah. By distinction, Moshe, who reflected Hashem's will, insisted that the Jews leave the desert and settle in the land of Israel. The ultimate aim and fulfillment of Torah is deed. The culmination of Torah is its actualization and implementation in the real world. It is not sufficient to become involved in theory. On the contrary, the land of Canaan, with its 31 different cultures, all alien to Torah, had to be actually, practically conquered to make it a holy land, to integrate theory and practice into a unified entity. This minor error of the Meraglim, their adherence to a philosophy which divorced theory from practice and the spiritual from the material, was their first wrong step. Other steps followed until their reasoning became so perverted that they came to make the absurd statement, the inhabitants are stronger than him. Let us learn a lesson from their error and concentrate not only on the theory of Yiddishkeit, but the practical observance of Torah. Thank you.
That was Rabbi Shalom Gordon of Congregation of Asion of 421 Boyden Avenue in Maplewood, New Jersey.
Okay, this brings to an end the first hour of this special for Yosel Rosenblatt with Cantor Bernard Beer. I'm hoping this all goes according to plan. This should be show number 286 for March 9th. I'm spending the month in Yerushalayim, and I look forward to coming back in a few weeks and getting back to the regular programming. But these programs have been prepared in advance so that there won't be a gap in your listening pleasure, if you will. So thank you so much for joining with me. You know how to reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com. cbjmusic@aol.com. And yes, I'm back on this is being recorded in advance for March 9th, 2015. Many of you have attended my presentation, Yosel's World, and I'm hoping that many of you will have the opportunity to see it in the future. Just get in touch with me, and I'll be happy to arrange a presentation at your shul or your Jewish organization. So again, thanks for joining with me, and stay with us. Stay tuned for the second hour of 2 Hours of Jewish Soul and this Rosenblatt special. Thank you.